آپ ایس بی ایس اردو سن رہے ہیں۔
In a letter published online in the Medical Journal of Australia, Dr. Philip Britton from Children's Hospital, Western Sydney, he's a senior lecturer in child and adolescent health at University of Sydney, and other doctors have revealed the first reported case of extensively drug-resistant typhoid in Australia. We are now joined by Dr. Philip Britton via phone to talk more about this issue. Dr. Philip Britton, what is the drug-resistant XDR typhoid bacteria?
Typhoid is a severe febrile illness in children and adults that occurs mainly in South Asia, which includes Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, but also in South and Eastern Asia. It's caused by a bacteria called Salmonella typhi that only infects human beings and people get exposed to through contaminated food and water. It's commonly resistant to a few classes of antibiotics, but increasingly we're seeing forms of this bacteria that are resistant to almost all the antibiotics that are available to us. There's been an outbreak of this extensively drug-resistant typhoid in Pakistan and Western India over the last 2 years, and we've reported the first case of that extensively drug-resistant typhoid in a child who'd travelled to Pakistan and developed the illness on return to Australia.
Could you elaborate about the patient, what sort of experience the patient had over there, and when the patient returned to Australia?
Yeah, so this is a child who was born in Australia, but as is common, was travelled back with her family to visit friends and relatives in Pakistan. They were there for a number of weeks doing what would normally be done, visiting different friends and relatives in different households, eating the food, drinking the water. And the child had a mild diarrheal illness while they were in Pakistan, but on return to Australia after a few weeks they developed a fever and became quite unwell over a week or 10 days with fever, loss of appetite, abdominal pain and vomiting. And the child eventually presented to hospital where on a culture of the blood from this child we grew the bug, and that confirmed that this was typhoid fever. By the time we were able to commence treatment, the child certainly was unwell enough to need to be in hospital, and once we confirmed that it was drug resistant, they needed to be in hospital because the only antibiotics that were available to treat this child were through a intravenous drip. The child fortunately responded to the therapy and was able to be discharged home after a week without any complications, but we were concerned and are concerned in all children with typhoid fever that they can become very unwell and develop complications of the illness.
So are all Australians vulnerable to the threat of such superbug?
So the answer is typhoid is not transmitted in Australia, and that's largely because of our separation of water and sewerage, our very good sewerage treatment processes and water sanitation. However, it remains endemic, or there's ongoing transmission of this bacteria in South Asia and East Asia. And so people become exposed to this infection when they travel back to those environments. Because the illness takes several weeks to develop after you've been infected, it's not uncommon for the actual illness to present back in Australia, even though the organism has been acquired in South and East Asia. And so what we're really interested to explain, really, to people who will be traveling back to these countries is ways that they can prevent acquiring the organism.
Would you like to elaborate that?
Sure. So there's two really major things to be aware of. The first is it's really important that people are aware about what they're eating and drinking when they return to visit friends and relatives in these countries. There's an old kind of travel medicine adage that says you should cook it, peel it, boil it, or leave it. And what that means is the water that you drink needs to either be boiled or it needs to be bottled water. The fruit and vegetables you eat need to be fruit and vegetables that can be peeled, and you should not be eating fruit and vegetables that are simply washed in tap water in those countries. And the third thing is that as much as possible you should be eating things that have been cooked freshly and remain at cooked temperature when you eat them. And that's simply because there's such a significant amount of these organisms in the water and in the environment that the only way to avoid it is with those practices. Now, the benefit of those practices is they will avoid you getting the typhoid infection, but they will also prevent a whole number of other infections that you can get. The second way of preventing this infection is through vaccination. And we do have a vaccine for the typhoid fever. It's available and can be given to all adults and children from the age of 2 and up. And it's a relatively simple injection that you can get 2 or more weeks before you travel overseas. The protection that's given by that vaccine is not lifelong. It lasts for about 3 to 5 years. So in people who will be repeatedly travelling back, they may need to get multiple doses of that vaccine over time. But from my perspective as a paediatrician, we really need to prioritise the protection of young children, because they're the group of people who tend to adhere to those other practices around water and sanitation less well than adults and adolescents. So vaccinating children is very important. There are two vaccines that we would routinely recommend to children and adults travelling back to South and East Asia, and they are the typhoid vaccine and the vaccination for a virus called hepatitis A, which is also transmitted through contaminated food and water.
What is the incidence of the people getting vaccinated by these specific vaccines? Is it common? Is it a requirement, or is it optional?
No, so we would recommend it, absolutely, but there is it's not part of the typical Australian immunisation program. It's really only recommended for those who will be travelling. What we have found amongst the children who've come to our hospital who've acquired typhoid fever is that many of the families were unaware that there was a vaccine. And in some cases, families had even gone to their general practitioner, but the general practitioner had not recommended the vaccine. So we're trying to really promote to the community, but also to the medical profession, that these vaccines are available. They can prevent children from getting the typhoid fever. And prevention in this case is better than cure, because curing typhoid fever requires lots of antibiotics, and where it's drug resistant, those antibiotics choices are quite limited. So we would really want people to prevent the infection rather than rely on cure.
How do people get access to this vaccine? You mentioned that it is available, yes, but not many GPs know about it. How awareness of such vaccine would be made possible or can be made possible?
Good. So we are absolutely trying to promote the awareness of the vaccine to general practitioners. But the way to access it is to get your GP to do a prescription for the vaccine that you can get from the pharmacy and then get administered by the GP. If families start going to the GPs requesting the vaccine, the GPs will be willing to prescribe it and administer it. If any people out there are approaching the GP and the GPs are unwilling to prescribe the vaccine, they could get in contact with the Infectious Disease Service here at the Children's Hospital at Westmead in Western Sydney, or their relevant children's hospital in their state or territory, and those services would be most happy to help them find another way of getting the vaccine. From the population of children who've got the infection, we know it's underutilised. So that's kind of what we're emphasising. There are many, many, many people who are travelling back to South Asia on an annual basis from Australia, in the order of millions of cross-border movements. But we don't know exactly how many of them are accessing the vaccine, but we're, f- from our experience, we think that it's under-accessed and underutilised. This is recommended by the in the National Australian Immunisation Handbook, which is a handbook that's developed under the Commonwealth Department of Health by what's called the National Centre for Immunisation Research and Surveillance. So this is a national recommendation. I'm emphasising it as a paediatrician here in Westmead because we've seen cases of typhoid, and certainly the infectious disease community is supportive of our emphasis, but this is actually a national recommendation for all travellers.
Okay, and lastly, why do you think there's a lack of awareness of this vaccine?
Well, look, we haven't done a direct survey of people in Australia to answer that question, but we can make inferences on the basis of surveys that have been done elsewhere. And what we know is that people who are travelling to visit their friends and relatives tend to think that going to these countries does not pose any risk to their health. And that's because often the parents of the children have lived or grown up in these countries, they themselves have not had major illnesses, and so they tend to think that there's no risk. However, what we know is that at a population level there is a risk. And part of the problem is people who live in these places over the medium to the long term often develop some level of immunity to these organisms. But when you live outside of those environments for a long period of time, that immunity is either lost, or if you're born outside of those environments, you don't have it at all. So when you travel there, it's like going without any protection. And so vaccination is a way to provide that additional immune protection for those people who are traveling to those environments who are not resident there.
Could you just describe the symptoms for the possible travellers, so if they identify such symptoms for this superbug?
Yeah, good. So typhoid tends to occur within 6 weeks of returning from one of these locations, and the main symptom is fever, and then the additional symptoms are abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea, sometimes cough. But really, a fever that lasts for more than 3 to 4 days in somebody who's travelled to these environments should be considered a suspected case of typhoid or its a similar illnesses called enteric fevers. And so people should be presenting to their local doctor or the local emergency department to be investigated if they have a fever that lasts for more than 3 and 4 days within 6 weeks of returning from overseas.
And how do you get this or infected from this disease? From air, water or food?
It's from water and food, from contaminated water and food. It's not passed in the air in these environments, but it is passed on fruit, vegetables, cooked foods and water in particular, ice, all of those things.
Thank you, Dr. Philip Britton, for talking to SBS Radio.
अगर आप इसी तरह की और कहानियाँ सुनना चाहते हैं तो SBS Radio ऐप पर हमारे मुस्तकिल पॉडकास्ट को सब्सक्राइब कीजिए।